Welcome to another episode of The Jonathan Show, Season 5, Episode 13. We haven't done this in a while, but we are going to get back into it. So today we're talking about the Stephon Diggs trade and potentially anything else that comes around the NFL. Stephon Diggs, the Houston Texans, Bills trade him for pretty much almost nothing compared to what they traded for him a few years or a few seasons ago. And this, to me, just doesn't make sense of what the Buffalo Bills are trying to do. Again, if you're cash strapped, you release a lot of your defensive players. Some of them get signed to other teams, potentially in also the AFC. You trade away Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen struggles to get to the big game. The offense is surrounded around Josh Allen and his legs, which can produce to injury. Now that they have no one to throw to, and you have the worst receiving core in the AFC East, what is to be the expectations for the Bills in 2024? That we'll talk about, but for the Houston Texans side of this, they just keep on going. Nick Caserio has been the GM since the 2021 season and has been just doing phenomenal. Been a guy that's really gotten the job done. He has literally apparently went to culinary school because he's been cooking and cooking and cooking this entire offseason. If you were to tell me in March of 2021, a little over 3 years ago, that at the time you have Davis Mills, believed they had Brandon Cooks on the roster. Rex Burkhead signed for a couple of games that season. You have some defensive players. And then you were to tell me, hey, 3 years later, we get CJ Stroud, second overall. We're going to be trading for Stephon Diggs. Damian Pierce is our star running back. You have Mechie coming back in his second year after recovering from cancer in 2022. God bless him. You have Tank Dell in his second season showing so much promise. Will Anderson, your rookie, had 6.5 sacks last year, can continue to improve, and you're going to contend for a Super Bowl this year. If I told Texans fans that 3 years ago, you would say I am on some drugs. I am on crack, cocaine, whatever the situation may be. But it just shows the envision that Nick Caserio had for the Houston Texans when you have that much passion. More importantly, put the care in front of the passion, having care for the organization. Caring about the team, the players, getting the right fit. A lot of times when you look at rebuilds for NFL teams, you want it to go by so quick, 6 months to a year, 2 years. Rebuilding an entire franchise for the long term, guess what, folks? It takes a while. This is not Madden. This is not 2K. This is not when they had NBA Live. You can't just rebuild it in one or two, in one offseason or in 6 weeks and build a superstar roster. The Texans, D'Amico Ryan's hiring was the game-changing move. Nick Caserio could have made all those other moves and it would have been just fine. They wouldn't have the same type of results, the same type of success, the same type of expectations for the 2024 season, as if you didn't hire D'Amico Ryans. Hiring D'Amico Ryans, the Texans front office and organization, giving Nick Caserio the time to build this team, to build this organization for the long term, is great. Because you remember, nearly 3 seasons ago, as of this September, the Jaguars were coming up. Their team coming up. They went 10-7. They won a playoff game in the 2023 playoffs, or 2022-2023 season. Won a playoff comeback game against the Los Angeles Chargers versus Justin Herbert. Then 2023 happens. Texans draft Stroud. Offensive line struggles a little bit, but CJ Stroud gets the job done. His first big moment to me to show who he was going to be as a rookie and a future NFL star and current NFL star was the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with about 30 to 35 seconds left, no timeouts, gets the job done. Now, we talked about the Houston Texans side. They're going to keep getting the job done. They're going to win a division. But looking at also the other portion of this is the AFC South, where Jaguars 2 years ago, this was your division to lose. Now this is your division to win. Because if you're talking for a conversation in terms of quarterbacks and their pocket presence, C.J. Stroud over Trevor Lawrence. Coaching, front office, GM, Houston Texans. So this puts a lot of pressure on them because you have the Jaguars. This is not your division anymore. They have the better head coach, better GM, better quarterback. You don't have the receivers that they have done. You have not made the moves they have done. So you look at it like every single game is so much more pressure for the career narrative of Trevor Lawrence and also what he's going to get paid in the future. Also, is Trevor Lawrence the Jaguars franchise quarterback? And if this year the Jacksonville Jaguars tremendously struggle, number one, by number two, missing the playoffs, you cannot tell me that Doug Peterson wouldn't be in the hot seat in 2025. So all these moves the Texans are making really just transforms the entire AFC. The AFC South, Doug Peterson's head coaching job, you have to make the playoffs. You have to win a division. If you do not make the playoffs at minimum, I wouldn't be surprised if either he's on the hot seat or fired before the beginning of the 2025-2026 NFL season. For the Colts' perspective, you got your second-year quarterback, Anthony Richardson, coming out of Florida, who I was not highly on. A lot of turnovers against that game against LSU, Joe Burrow's first year in the league. So Joe Burrow-less LSU Tigers, and they lose by a field goal in overtime in the 2020 college football season. Now, the Colts draft him. He's a run-first, pass-second quarterback. And how many times do I need to tell people, if your NFL quarterback, starting NFL quarterback, is run first, pass second, you're not going to win many games because that's not the type of offense you do anymore. This is not a run-pass type of league. Also, it's quarterback-friendly. Number three, it reduces the chances of being protected, meaning you're going to get hurt a lot more. The risk of injuries skyrockets. And you saw that. Anthony Richardson had a couple plays here and there, but he got hurt most of the year. Gardner Minshew in the The Indianapolis Colts went 9-8. So now Gardner Minshew's gone. You're a second-year quarterback. You have okay receivers. So this puts a lot of pressure on Richardson because this is going to be a career year for him. Not just because of his injuries, but the moves that Texans are making, which puts the pressure on the Jacksonville Jaguars to make some moves, more importantly, start winning those early divisional games. This also puts pressure on the Titans, which no starting quarterback for 2024. They do not have a all-pro or a decent receiver. You have no running back. Derrick Henry has gone to Baltimore. Your defense is being torn apart. The question is, what are the Titans going to do? New first year head coach, or new head coach, I should say. Mike Vrabel hasn't gotten a job. But to me, I'm actually surprised, but we'll talk about it here in just a little bit. And why Bill Belichick hasn't gotten a job, but the obvious answer is there. The Titans are going to be the worst team in that division. Number one is going to be the Texans. Two is going to be the Jaguars. I'm going to say three Colts. Number four is going to be the Titans. I think the Colts will not make the playoffs, but they'll have some wins early on to where they'll still be third in the division, even though they won't make the playoffs. Because all the moves the Texans are making, believing in this organization, hiring a head coach that truly believes in the players, the fans, and the organization is going to do wonders for them. So it'll be number one, because of all these moves and everything they're doing. Houston Texans number one, wins the AFC South. Jaguars number two, Colts number three, and number four is, of course, going to be the Tennessee Titans as they continuously struggle. Who knows what the type of style of offense they're going to have. It's not like you're not going to get a Maserati Marv. You're not going to get McCarthy. You're not going to get Bo Nix. So you really need to look at what 2024 could look like as of right now here in April 6th, 2024. Another topic we want to talk about here, because we, again, haven't done these podcasts in a while. We're going to be doing these a lot more. Is two head coaches. This is nothing new. Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel have not gotten a job. And we're like, why hasn't Mike Vrabel got a job? Or Bill Belichick? Well, simple answer for Bill Belichick. He's in his late 70s, about to be in his early 80s. The type of team that Bill Belichick wants to say, or be, is not anymore. The NFL has evolved from the Bill Belichick way. It is a quarterback-friendly league. Teams are looking for head coaches for the long term. I know there are rumors about Bill Belichick going to Atlanta. He could be the guy. But I think, despite all the dumb moves Falcons have made in the past few, many, many years since Matt Ryan went to Indianapolis 2 years ago, this was the right move. Because if you're looking for the long term and you're hiring a guy who is stuck in the old type of NFL and is also in his late 70s, early 80s, and you're expecting to have success long term, what do you think is going to happen 5, 10 years from now? He's not going to be there 5 years from now. It's just smart for Bill Belichick to retire. He's had an amazing career. Future first ballot Hall of Famer. We're not debating any of that. We're just saying right now, there's no reason for a team that's looking for a long-term solution at the head coaching vacancy for their team this offseason or next offseason should hire a guy that's in his late 70s or early 80s. Mike Vrabel, to me, I was kind of shocked. Despite where the Tennessee Titans were and where they didn't, where they wanted to be versus where they actually were in 2023, I was genuinely surprised. They had 7, almost 8 wins despite having a team that was what you call in the ruins. Let's keep that clean. A team that is tremendously not done very well. But again, to me, versus Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, it should be Mike Vrabel. He's still a very young and capable head coach. He gets the job done. I'm just surprised because I'm looking at current NFL. Obviously, if he hadn't, he probably won't until next offseason. But looking at guys that could get the job, let's say, again, this is just hypothetical, what I think would be interesting doesn't mean that's going to happen, nor will it happen. If Philly has a losing season and they miss the playoffs, they hire Mike Vrabel. That, to me, would be really, really interesting. So, number one, be Philly. Again, I'm saying what I think would be interesting, not what would or will happen. Number one, Philly. Number two, I would have to say, well, this is tough. I really think that Philly is the best option. You got A.J. Brown, you got Jalen Hurts. Again, one more time, this is just what I think would be interesting, not what would or will happen. They or Philly? Second question mark, maybe a rebuild team in Arizona, depending on what happens with the Cardinals in 2024. Could be interesting. Philly in Arizona. And I think those two, to me, would be the best options. And maybe number three, depending on what happens in Jacksonville in 2024. Considering there's a lot of pressure on the Jaguars. Look at all the moves and the amazing pieces the Texans have got. Stephon Diggs, Stroud in his second year, Singletary, Tank Dell in his second year, having a lot of promise. Mechie coming back, he's such a fighter. Like, these are definitely some interesting moves, interesting organizations that Mike Vrabel could be a part, I think would be interesting to be a part of in 2024. That does not mean that will happen. Again, one more time, because I just feel like I have to say this. This is what I think would be interesting. This is not what I think what would actually happen. Well, as we're approaching the NFL draft here in a couple of weeks, we have obviously some quarterbacks, right? Quarterback that will be moved in a post-June 1st release. That is quarterback Daniel Jones. So this begs the question, what are the Giants going to do in the draft? Tried to replace Odell Beckham Jr. for the past 5 years. Has not worked. Darius Slayton had some promise. Just didn't work out. Saquon Barkley is gone to Philly. They were never passionate about Saquon. They were never going to be loyal to him. They were never going to give him that second contract. So any fans or Tiki Barber, anyone else out there that was pissed at Saquon for leaving an organization that didn't care about them, wasn't loyal to him, nor was going to give him that second contract. Clearly has no idea what they're talking about when it comes to the situation, and you need to stop acting like a fool. But it goes back to the Giants. If you are releasing, which is what it's looked like to be, releasing Daniel Jones in the post-June 1st release, this begs the question, what are the Giants going to do in this year's draft? Is it offensive line? Which to me would be absolutely hilarious, considering the offensive line the past couple years, if not more, but specifically in the Daniel Jones era, has been absolutely awful. I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy. They drafted him way too high. He's first round pick out of Duke. Didn't do anything. Baked in a similar vicinity as Dwayne Haskins, rest his soul, in the 2019 NFL draft. It didn't make any sense to me at all whatsoever. You drafted him, and you didn't put the protection around him. You paid him like an all-pro quarterback. Yes, they had a playoff win against Minnesota, first-year head coach at the time, Brian Daboll, but struggled in 2023. It would be absolutely hilarious to finally get him the protection, even though most likely from what we're reading, unless there's something I don't know about, because again, I don't know anyone in the organization. I don't know any of the Giants people or Daniel Jones people. For a Daniel Jones post-June 1st release, I think offensive line either way, to me, would be a really, really good idea, regardless if he's the quarterback in 2024 or not. I think offensive line, defensive front, you can work on that just a little bit, but I think offensive line receiver would be interesting for the Giants, because if you're looking to draft another running back in the first round, when you don't have a starting quarterback, it's not a good idea. When are teams going to understand? If you are trying to focus on rebuilding the team, you know for sure, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, you do not have a starting quarterback at this point in time, and you draft a running back top 5, top 10, before you have your quarterback and finish continuing the rebuild of your franchise, you're not going to have success, much less long-term success. You may have that one fluke, one-year wonder that the Titans had in the 2019-2020 season. Maybe. But again, that doesn't happen very often. There's exceptions to the rule. We'll see what happens with the Giants. Last topic here I want to frankly talk about is the Jets. What are the Jets going to do in 2024 in the 2024 draft? To me, it is basic. It is very simple. Offensive line. Aaron Rodgers only played 4 plays last year. And to me, even with Rodgers coming back off a torn ACL, even before the injury happened, before the 2023 season played out, any minute, any time, I didn't have any high expectations for the Jets and Rodgers in 2023. Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Matt LaPoo. Now it's Matt LaFleur. He's earned the name Matt LaFleur, in my opinion. Again, great guy, great head coach. From what we're seeing, doing a great job with Jordan Love. Point is, you had Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt LaFleur. And you still couldn't even make a Super Bowl appearance. So what makes me think, with less talent outside of Garrett Wilson at the receiver position, and the injury of Michael Carter from 2022 makes me think that they're going to outlast everyone in the AFC East and win the whole division. Explain to me genuinely how that could ever make any sense whatsoever. Because spoiler alert, it does not make any sense whatsoever. I believe the Jets should go offensive line, even with Aaron Rodgers coming back. It's coming off a torn ACL, nearly approaching 40. I don't really have any expectations for the Jets in 2024. I think until we get the schedule and the season gets closer, 152 days, I'm so excited for that. But for now, I think the Jets, there shouldn't be any high praise or expectations or high expectations for them in 2024. Because you can keep talking about Aaron Rodgers this or Aaron Rodgers that. Regardless, it's not all his fault in Green Bay. We've been to that before. But what has Aaron Rodgers done in Green Bay to make me think that he's going to do that with the Jets? Playoff disappointment, just like with Mark Sanchez? or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, wait, sorry. Is that a sore subject for Jets fans? Oh, my gosh. What do you expect with Rodgers? Lose a big playoff game to a big divisional rival? That's just what, that's, I just don't understand what the Jets and Jets fans were thinking with that. Again, this is the Jonathan Show, Season 5, Episode 13. We're going to try and get these out a lot more. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We'll see y'all next time. God bless.